While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's LATTICE.com/no regrets.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Chile. My memory is in the fall of 2019. There was tumult in Santiago and perhaps other Chilean cities. Protests against the constitution, against the status quo, against the elite, leading to violence, fires, explosions. Mary Anastasio Grady joins me. Mary wrote about that, and that was when I was introduced to the Chilean economy. What is this? A natural resource-rich country in South America? And it looks like a revolution. All these years later, Mary, a very good evening to you. That was then. But as I recall, the elements that spoke after that violence said, we need a new constitution. We need a new order of battle. We need a new leader. Well, all of that in between part was the pandemic and then the election of Gabriel Boric, the very young classical Marxist, and then one or two constitutional drafts now to replace the original draft of 2019. And we're back to the beginning. What's happened, Mary? Good evening to you.
Oh, goodness. Good evening, John. That's a lot. Okay, yes, starting in October 2019, there was kind of a social explosion. It began with some students who were supposedly protesting bus fare increases, but actually the bus fare increases didn't affect them, and they were very minor. It seemed more like, in retrospect, an organized terrorist attack on the country. They blew up subway cars, and these obviously were not students in sneakers, but subway cars were badly destroyed. They went on rampages through the cities, destroying, vandalizing businesses, burning churches. And this continued for weeks and even months. The president at the time was a center-right president, Sebastian Piñera. He tried bringing the military to the street to restore order. Then he was accused of being somehow a blast from the past in terms of Augusto Pinochet, who was the military general who led the country in the 80s and in the 70s and the 80s. And so in the end, the geniuses in politics decided that the real problem was the Constitution, which was originally drafted during the Pinochet years, even though it had been heavily amended since then. And so they set about for this constitutional project, and that's what they were lobbying for, and that's what Piñera granted them.
And then along came the pandemic and halted the upset. And the result was an election bringing forth a very young man who was associated with the protest of the status quo. The elite, as I recall, were part of the those who were condemned. And Gabriel Boric also came at the same time of a People's Constitutional Writing Committee. It had some elaborate name, but it was chosen from all elements of the society, supposedly, although it was heavily left. And they brought out a constitution, I think, was 500,000 words long. What happened to that, Mary?
Well, that's right. You know, Sebastian Piñera, who was the president, as I said, during when this whole thing exploded, agreed that there would be an election to elect a constituent assembly, and that that assembly would be charged with writing a new constitution, and then that new constitution would go to a public referendum, and that voters would vote up or down on it. In the meantime, there was also a presidential election where, as you mentioned, Gabriel Boric came into office. But the assembly was really elected outside of that process. You know, it was a separate election. It was not mandatory, which I think resulted in a lot of the very activist people on the left going to vote, and a lot of people who were either neutral or on the right not going to vote. And so they ended up electing a very, and for some other reasons about the rules, they ended up electing a very fringe assembly. And that fringe assembly had 2/3 majority. So they said, well, we can write whatever we want, and not thinking about whether it would pass in a public referendum. So they wrote a crazy constitution that did a lot of damage to individual rights and property rights, but also would have divided the country into multiple nations. And the Chileans basically objected to that, and it was very soundly defeated. I think it was 62-38%. And when that was over, what should have happened was that they went back to the old constitution, because that was the law that the Congress had, that was what had been passed initially. But instead, the politicians said, oh, no, let's try again. So they tried again. This time they made voting obligatory. They got a constituent assembly that was 3/5 controlled by the right or center right parties. They drafted another constitution, and the country voted on that document last Sunday, and it was also defeated. So now the country is back to the original constitution, the Pinochet constitution, although it's been amended many times by center and left governments to ensure democracy. So that's where Chile is today. And President Boric has said, he said before the referendum, that if this would fail, it would be the end of the process. No more, no more. So they're back to this original, the original amended constitution.
As I listen to your story, Mary, it seems that Chile's an example of two steps forward and two steps back. So here we are, back to 2019. Chile has a rich natural resource base, and you evidence how it was growing very nicely until and if the corporate taxes became overwhelming and it either drove out investment or made investment doubt itself. Is it also about China's demand for copper that ebbed? Is that part of the story, or is it entirely government regulation?
No, I wouldn't make China such a big deal in this. You know, the slowdown actually happened during Michelle Bachelet's second term in office, which was, she was the president before Sebastian Piñera, Sebastian Piñera's last government. And she's a socialist, and she really hiked up corporate taxes, right, and made the country basically uncompetitive. And, you know, what I tried to explain in my column is that I think that slow growth is what set off, not the extremists. Okay, the people who blew up the country, those people are Marxists who, you know, would use violence to bring down the government. But a large number of people were also very unhappy at that time. They went to the streets to protest peacefully. And I think that that was really that was misdiagnosed by the elites. They said, well, the problem here is inequality. The problem is the Constitution. The problem is Pinochet. And I think that was a complete misread of the problem. The problem is slow growth. The country needs growth. And Chileans in particular have become very accustomed to fast growth. They had very fast growth for many years. I mean, they had some down years. 2009, of course, there was a financial crisis and that hit around the globe. But other than that, they're very accustomed to fast growth. And fast growth creates opportunity. It allows for social mobility. It allows for choice and saving and, you know, a strong currency. And none of that was happening. And people got frustrated. And they also found that their expectations were not being met. Had they had low expectations, maybe they wouldn't have responded like that. But they had high expectations because of the history of the country.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, Chile, Back to the Future. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.